When I reached this big bronze ring, I stopped and I looked very carefully all about. The water was all still and black, and all I could hear was the sound of it slapping against the quayside. I thought maybe I'd have another go at calling for the sea dragon, so I did. As loudly as I dared, I called, "Sea dragon, I've come to help you." And that's when I heard a sound. But it wasn't a sound like the splashing and squeaking noise that the little dragon made. The sound went a bit like this. Snickety snick, clickety click. And I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand upright. What or who could be making such a sound? And there it came again. Snickety snick, clickety click. And another strange sound as well. The sound of many legs scuttling. Maybe at this moment you can hide behind this great big bronze ring, but I was all tied up with my mum's biggest shopping bag and I didn't get it together in time. And then suddenly, appearing from the gloom, came the strangest sight I had ever seen. At first glance, it looked like a man, very tall and very skinny. But then, as he got closer, I could see that this man had the claws of a great big crab on the ends of his arms and extra legs on each side for scuttling with. This man was wearing a very smart suit and a bow tie, and the claws were the things that were doing the clickety-clicking and the snickety-snicking. I froze in horror because I knew exactly who this was. My mamma told me loads of stories about this man. This was Mr. Krabs. Everyone in the bay knew about Mr. Krabs. He was a ruthless businessman. He conned money out of all the good folk, and he was so greedy that he'd stop at nothing. And he was also known to have a huge and horrible appetite. One of his favourite things to eat was money, which is why he always needed more of it. But he was also known to eat other things. Things like children. Children like me. Mr. Krabs stopped when he saw me. "You're very small and skinny," he said, looking sorrowful. "Yeah," I said, "I am." You might think I was being brave, but I was actually absolutely terrified. My heart was hammering in my chest and I could hardly think straight. Mr. Krabs delicately took a handkerchief out of his suit pocket and tucked it into his shirt front. "But even so," he said, "I'm going to have to eat you." He said this very apologetically, getting out a knife and fork. "Oh no," I said, "no, please don't do that." "And why should I not?" I couldn't think of a reason. What would you say to stop a half-man, half-crab from swallowing you whole? Maybe you can say it now, very loudly and firmly, just in case he's listening. As for me, I could not think of anything very inspired, apart from, I would only be a very small meal, and I don't think I'm very tasty. "That's a shame," said Mr. Krabs. "But when human children are disrespectful enough to wander into my domain at night, I always have to eat them. So excuse me while I start. Which bit of you should I nibble first? Ah, an elbow, I think. I do love elbows." "Wait," I said desperately. "I'm not here to wander. I'm here to help. There's a creature who's lost and needs to go home, and that's why I'm here. I'm not being disrespectful, sir." Mr. Krabs stopped trying to poke me with his fork, and he seemed to be listening. "What kind of creature?" he said. "It's a small sea dragon," I said. "I'm going to put it in my shopping bag and carry it to the barrage so I can release it into the Bristol Channel and it can go home to the islands of summer where it belongs." Suddenly, Mr. Krabs started to dab his eyes with his handkerchief. "That is a heartbreaking story," he said. He seemed to be trying to make a decision. Finally, he spoke again. "Well, I never do this. I am known for being quite ruthless, but on this occasion I shall let you go free. Unnibbled and with all your bones and body bits intact. Isn't that nice of me?" "Oh yes," I said, "very nice." "Don't you dare tell anyone though," he said. "I don't want the news getting out that I'm not as bloodthirsty as they all think I am." "Of course," I said. "Now," said Mr. Krabs, "if you go down to the waterside, I believe there's someone waiting for you." And then he put the knife and fork back in his pocket and off he went. Snickety snick, clickety click. Sure enough, the dark water now was broken by a small, scaly head and two big, dark, sad eyes, as quickly as I could, because I was a bit afraid that Mr. Krabs might change his mind, I went down to the waterside and I knelt. "Hi, little dragon," I said. "I've come to rescue you. But I'm afraid you're going to have to get into my shopping bag so I can take you to the barrage and set you free in the sea." The dragon looked at my mum's big shopping bag suspiciously. "I promise I won't tie the top," I said. "I just need something to carry you in. You're rather large." You see, even though the dragon was much smaller than any other dragon I could imagine, it was still the size of a small dog. And its tail was so long and so cumbersome. So when eventually I did manage to coax it into the bag, the tail was still hanging over the edge and I kept tripping over it. But finally I had it all tucked in the bag, safe and sound. "Right then," I said, "let's go." And the little dragon squeaked in agreement. I lifted the bag onto my shoulder and I nearly dropped it. The little dragon was so heavy. This was going to be a long and hard journey. Just hoped we didn't meet any other creatures on our way to the edge of the sea.